This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Again, greetings and welcome to our lesson today. I certainly trust that the program encourages you, challenges you, blesses you. We would love to have feedback from you if you've got comments you'd like to make or have prayer requests you'd like to leave me. And for those of you who would like to do that, go to my website, bdcministries.com, bdcministries.com. You can use the email address or the postal address given there. This program can also be re-listened to there. You can also reach me at Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. That's Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Now, as you know, we are making a tour through the Bible, really trying to do an overview. And for those of you who perhaps have missed out on some of the principles that I've laid out for studying the Bible, if you'll go to my website, bdcministries.com, you'll find a link there to a paper that I have written that gives many of these principles. It's called the Overview of the Bible and Some Principles of Bible Interpretation. And you might want to review that as we look at the rest of the books in our Bible. I'm not trying to give you a meaty explanation of each of these books. I'm trying to give you a contextual explanation so that when you read the book, it will make sense to you. And we've noted that we have the Old Testament and the New Testament, and there's differences of interpretation with regard to the two, and that as we come to these epistles, these letters that were written by the apostles, they really are the backbone of all Bible interpretation. Now, when we came to Romans, we were looking at a gospel explanation, but it was an explanation of the gospel to Gentiles, people who had not been raised in the Jewish faith, but who were still able to accept the truth that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, that he died, he was buried, and that he was raised again, that he fulfilled prophecy. But of course, the emphasis in that book was that the just shall live by faith. Then we went through the epistles, and we've now come to Hebrews. And while Romans was an explanation of the gospel to the Gentiles, that is, non-Jews, when we come to Hebrews, we're coming to an explanation of the gospel to those who had been raised in the Jewish faith and would have considered themselves Jews. The question is always raised when you look at the book of Hebrews, was he writing to believing Jews, or was he writing to Jews who still needed to be convinced of the truth of the gospel? Now, in all fairness, he may have been writing to both, but I believe that there are some of the problem verses that can only be understood if you're assuming that he's trying to still convince those who are steeped in the Hebrew religion and the Jewish religion that Christ is the answer, and that their ceremonies and their Old Testament sacrifices, their Old Testament priesthood, and their Old Testament temple was not the answer, that was only giving them instructions that would help them worship Jehovah until the Lord came. But in our dispensation, that is, since the Lord has died, and we'll see in Hebrews 9 and 10 that there's been a change in dispensations, we're under a new covenant. In our covenant, the gospel is the same to the Jew, and it's the same to the Gentile, but the Jew thought that they had it right. like many people today, they go to certain kinds of churches and they think they've got it right. And it's hard for them to come to the conclusion that, for example, infant baptism is not in the Bible. That while we should remember the Lord in the breaking of bread, that's not what saves. That good works are not what saves, that it is Christ that saves, and as a result of being saved, we live a new life in Christ, and good works are the result, are the proof that a person's heart has really been changed. When we begin to see how we need to have our minds changed about what we believe because of the way we were raised or the religion we were raised in, you can understand why this book of Hebrews had to be written. The question is, was it written by Paul? We don't know. And many people spend hours trying to explain why we believe it's written by Paul or Apollos or whoever they think it was written by. But I believe that we should not raise the question or try to be smarter than God and say who wrote the book. We should ask ourselves, why did God see fit to have the book written anonymously? Because that's who wrote the book, Anonymous. And why was that true? Well, it was possibly true for a number of reasons, one of which is that probably some Jews would never have read the book if they had known who the author was. And there may be other reasons for that as well. But interesting enough, when you come to Romans, the gospel to the Gentiles, Romans 4 deals with the issue that the just shall live by faith. Now, the emphasis in Romans seems to be what it means to be justified or to be made right with God, because we're all sinners in need of a Savior, and legally we all should be condemned by the law, but we live by faith, and when we have faith in Christ, God is just and the justifier of the one who trusts in Jesus. We come to Hebrews, and we come to Hebrews 10, and we find out again, the just shall live by faith. And so the gospel is not different, but it's probably going to be understood differently, or at least the things that will convince a Jew that the just lives by faith and not by the rituals of the Old Testament law might be different than what would convince a Gentile who was never one to practice the Jewish religion. But there are many people who seem to think that the gospel is simply a 5-minute come to Jesus explanation at the end of a sermon. And I disagree with that. The gospel is the basis of everything else we believe, and the longest epistles in our Bible were explanations of the gospel, and that would be Romans, and that would be Hebrews. So I hope that you'll pay attention to the book and will recognize that what has been written here is extremely important. Now, in the epistle to the Hebrews, it's really an answer to the question, what do you have? In other words, what do you Jews have? And in a word, the answer is Christ. And it's Christ, whether it be a Gentile or a Hebrew. And so the answer in Hebrews is that Christ is greater than the prophets. In these last days, he has spoken to us through his Son. In times past, he spoke through the prophets. He's greater than angels. He's greater than Moses. He's greater than Joshua. His priesthood is superior to the Aaronic priesthood, the priesthood of the Old Testament through the lineage of Aaron. He serves in a better sanctuary. He has introduced us to a better covenant. And so that's where we look at the fact that now that Christ has died, there is a new covenant which has come into existence. It's being enforced since we have the death of the testator, that is, the death of the Lord Jesus. And so when we look at Hebrews, the Lord Jesus is the antitype of typical furniture and veil. In other words, when we say antitype, in the Old Testament, we have the actual furniture, we have the actual carrying out of worship in the temple, but that all spoke to us of how Christ would fulfill pictures or types or shadows, depending on which particular term you want to use, Christ would fulfill these things in the New Testament. He is, if we have a type, then we have to have something the type represents, and the antitype is what the type represents. And so he himself is the once-for-all offering for sin that is far superior to the repeated sacrifices of bulls and goats. They all spoke of him, but he is the fulfillment of what those Old Testament sacrifices spoke of. Those Old Testament sacrifices were sacrifices that did please God when the heart of the Old Testament worshiper was right, but they meant nothing if they were simply ceremonies that were carried out in order to, in some way, gain God's favor. But when a heart was right, this was what you did. It's like us. Breaking bread is absolutely meaningless if you've never been saved. But if you've been saved, then you break bread to please God and to remember the Lord, not in order to get saved. Now, there are some very important verses that I would like to look at in the book of Hebrews, and it's a long book, so we aren't going to get through everything, but we would find in Hebrews that the Word of God, Hebrews 4 and verse 12, the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And when we come to Hebrews 9, we read again about this new covenant. And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. For where there is a testament, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is in force after the men are dead, since it has no power at all while the testator lives. So now we've come into a new covenant, and the new covenant is seen again by Old Testament pictures. The just shall live by faith. And the new covenant is obviously summarized by John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, while the word faith is not found in the Old Testament except in a couple of places, yet it's the Old Testament that gives us the examples of faith. And so when we come to Hebrews 12, we come to a very practical section which says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, which is the witnesses of Hebrews chapter 11, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. And so again, Paul is pointing the Jew to the crucified Messiah, the one they crucified, and he's telling them now he's the answer to everything you've been practicing in those Old Testament rituals. Now, folks, I hope you have seen the value of the Lord Jesus and are trusting in him and in him alone for your eternal security, your eternal redemption, and for a home in heaven. Our Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless our lesson today, bless all who have listened, guide our country during this time of the pandemic and during the elections, bless those who are serving at their own peril at this time. We thank you for salvation through faith in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. Amen.